Yo, what's up, everybody? You guys are listening to the 95th episode of True to Size.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez,
Kobe,
and Mr. Alvin Martinez.
Kobe.
So it is a little bit of a somber mood this week, obviously. It'll likely be a short episode, probably. As we all know, a legend, icon, role model, just really good human being on and off the court. Kobe Bryant passed away on Sunday along with his daughter, Gianna, who had a really bright future ahead of her in the world of basketball, as well as I think it was seven other individuals as well, friends of the Bryant family and the pilot of the helicopter. It's going to be a very Kobe-centric episode. Obviously, we're going to talk about our favorite on-court moments with Kobe Bryant, some of our favorite Kobe sneakers, and how we think his legacy should and will be honored. The whole Mamba mentality thing was always work through it no matter what. I mean, it's been a couple days, but I think that everyone still kind of feels it. Like, I felt, I don't know about you guys, like, on Sunday and Monday, I just felt like I was sleepwalking. Like, I felt like it was just...
surreal.
A very, very weird feeling for me.
And
I was never a huge Kobe fan to begin with. Like, I was never the one. I was never going to front like I was. Like, he was always against us because I was a Raptor fan, so he was always the enemy. But, like, it was just... I think that it was Jimmy Kimmel said, like, it's one of those people that you never thought that could happen to, almost. Like, he just feels like a superhero in a sense, where it's like an omnipresent thing where they're invincible because they're so strong and they're so, they're just incredible overall. So yeah, we're obviously going to dedicate this entire episode to someone who's super important in our lives, in the sneaker world and just in the world in general. But first, Alvin.
Fire round.
We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from me. Because it is going to be a very Kobe Bryant-centric episode. I do want to know, and this is going to take some thought, so I'm going to talk very slowly for you. What is, and you can have more than one answer, your favorite Kobe Bryant moment? Now, this can be on or off the court. Take it however you want. That's a very broad statement. I have a couple, so hopefully I don't steal either of yours while I'm saying them and you guys have a chance to think. So the one that really shines for me, because like I said, when he was playing, when he was competitive, when the Lakers were competitive, he was the enemy. They were always like the bad guys. That's obviously how he wanted it. But his final game... I remember the night very vividly because it was his final game on one channel and the Golden State Warriors going for 73 wins on the other channel. And it was almost like there was two generations of people, and the younger generation was watching Steph try to go for 73 wins and the other generation was watching Kobe send off. And I just remember, like, as much as he jacked up what seemed like 1,000 shots in that game, even just seeing him come down in the clutch when Utah was trying to get a, like, if they won that game, they were going to the playoffs. So it wasn't a nothing game for Utah. And Kobe was literally Kobe Bryant to the very end, like knocking down clutch jumpers, like mid range threes, fadeaways. Like, it was, they came from behind. It was just insane. And then hitting the final two free throws, like to hit the 60 points and then to be taken off the court so we can get the standing ovation. Did you guys see the whole Gordon Hayward thing?
Where he crossed the line?
So apparently that's fake news. So the rumor was that if you watch the video of Kobe going for his 60th point in his last game, you see Gordon Hayward. It looks like very purposely step in the lane so that if Kobe were to miss that free throw, which would be his 60th point, it would be a lane violation, and then he would be able to shoot another free throw, so get another chance. Gordon Hayward actually tweeted yesterday, last night, that he didn't do it on purpose. So first of all, Gordon Hayward, that was a really bad, like, really brutal lane violation. But in the tweet, it said something like, I would never do that. Kobe would never let me do that. He would lose so much respect for me. He wouldn't want it that way. Which is kind of crazy. Like, that's just amazing. Also, Gordon Hayward, I'm glad you figured out how to be a defender on a free throw, because that was brutal. Do you guys have one? I don't want to steal my other ones here, but I don't want to steal it if it's yours. Do you guys have one that stands out in particular?
At the moment when it was happening, I wasn't happy about it, but it was when he dropped 81.
Oh boy, yeah.
On our head top.
81.
Like, come on, man.
Good defense, Jalen Rose.
Holy crap.
And I watched that game.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
And so did every Raptor on the court.
I was
just stood there and watched them.
Like, I was cheese, but at the same time, I was like, yo, this guy's...
You're never going to see that again.
No.
It's impossible.
No. It's, and like, not obviously, possible. When he's not playing us, I had respect for him, and I was like, yo, Kobe.
Of course, yeah.
But that hurt, man.
Yeah. Yo, 81.
81 points, bro.
81 Seriously. Points.
But
I think, like, it was 50 field goal attempts or something. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Was nobody, everyone was just like, hey, go ahead, bro. You want to lay up right now, or you want a three? Which one? Like, that's 81 points.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Just stupid.
And
nuts.
I read somewhere that his grandmother, that was her first game watching him play.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
So
every other game is downhill from
there. Yeah.
He had to put on a show for his grandmother.
Oh, interesting.
So, I don't know. That's what I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah, that's so sick. What's your standout memory, Joel?
My first memory of Kobe was watching him in the slam dunk competition.
Ooh. Yeah.
And Brandy was there.
Yeah.
Because apparently that was his prom date or
that was
something.
A shorty, bro.
Yeah, she was like cheering.
Because he was 17, right?
Yeah, and he did this one dunk where he just flexed on him, like,
yes,
I'm here kind of thing, like, you know, watch for me kind of thing. And from that point on, I was like, this kid's going to be a problem. This kid's going to be a problem. Like, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But yeah, that's like one of the earliest memories I have.
The other one that really stands out for me that like really personifies the whole Mamba mentality is when he tore his Achilles at 35 years old, he tore his Achilles, which for any other individual in the entire world is career ending.
Yeah.
Like you're out for a year and that's the recovery time. And then when you come back, you're supposed to never be the same. He tore his Achilles, was fouled, walked to the free throw line, hit both free throws, walked to the back room on his own power, and then was out for a year and then played for what, 3 more years after that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, bruh, I've seen people carried off the court.
Know,
when you see someone, seriously, like the whole KD thing in the playoffs when he tore his Achilles, he had to be helped off the court, couldn't even stand up himself.
Yeah.
Kobe walked over to the free throw line and shot the two free and made the two free throws.
That's crazy.
Like, it could go on and on. Do you guys have anything else that you can think of? Or?
I forget what his name. Was it Matt Barnes? He did like a putback dunk.
On his head?
On his head top. And then he was just in his face. And
him and Matt Barnes were not.
And then he tried to like fake him. Like,
oh, yeah. He shook him.
On the inbound pass?
Yeah, oh,
and
yes.
Kobe just stood there stone faced.
Yes.
And
he tried to make him flinch.
And, yeah. Like yeah, that was like crazy.
That's so
that was
big.
Crazy.
I don't know. I think one of my other ones was like, because I'm an MJ guy,
yeah,
obviously, and Kobe is like my second. But like when they would go at it, I think it was maybe MJ's last.
Yeah, it would have been near
All Star game
near his end, the end of his career.
I think it was last All Star game. Yeah, and it was like Kobe was just Kobe. And like there was a point where they were trying to like go back and forth, and it was just like, it was kind of like the passing of the torch.
Yeah, it was like a changing of the guard. Yeah.
Super cool. And then I think Kobe that game too was wearing Jordans.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. I think
could
have been wrong, but
I think you're right.
Either way, man, like just, yeah, I don't know.
There's so many things, like so many memories. He was in the league for what, 18 years, 19 years, I think, something ridiculous. Yeah. So you could pick every month there was something. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up is the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase.
Super cute.
Super cute. And by random draw. No, it's not, just kidding. It's me. It's me again. I'm really lucky this week. My pick this week, it's a little bit different. It's the Air Jordan 10 Super Bowl. So it's been a while since Nike/Jordan/ any really big brand has done something really cool for the Super Bowl. The last time I remember is when they did those trainers like several years ago, and it was like the all iridescent upper on like the trainer two or something like that. So they're back. The Super Bowl is in Miami this year. So they have a Air Jordan 10 covered in canvas. The material looks amazing. Like, I love the whole canvas upper vibe. In the sail accents with a gum sole, with pink accents on that sole. Ooh. And then it's almost like tropical leaves, like palm trees print all over the upper. Like, you got like the pastels, the blues and the pinks, like the binding, you have like the light pink as well. Very Art Basel vibes. Like, I think that if this colorway was on any other sneaker, this would be like, everyone would be after it. But they put it on a Jordan 10, so it's probably not going to do amazing, which is unfortunate because like the execution is really good. But you know, like usually when they have a good idea like this or they do something really, really cool, they try to put it on one of the lesser loved silhouettes. So people are buying something else than a Jordan 1 or a Jordan 3. Because I can just imagine this being on a Jordan 3 and it being like an instant classic.
Yeah.
Like absolutely fuego fire flames.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're releasing this weekend, I guess it would be. Yep, January 31st, because the Super Bowl is this coming weekend as well.
Holy shit.
It is, this Sunday. At a retail price of $190 USD, so you're looking at probably $255-$265 Canadian if they come here. There's no real other information yet, so we're not sure if it's going to be a Florida-only release, US-only release, because it's a US occasion, I guess you can call it, or if it'll be international. But I think it's a solid shoe. I'm just going to call it cute because I would never really wear Jordan 10 anymore because there's just other shoes I would reach for. But I am a big fan of it. So definitely super cute. Alvin, your pick.
I got the Kobe ProTro 5.
You didn't say it right. Try again.
Sorry, Kobe. Wait. Kobe 5 ProTro Final Championship.
No, I meant just the first word.
What?
Kobe. Just like that. That's how you have to say it.
Oh.
You have to like you're fading away. Is the only way you can say the name.
All right.
Try one more time.
So Kobe. The Kobe.
There you go. There.
ProTro 5 features two different colorways, but mashed into one shoe.
Yes, sir.
One of the first colorways is the Big Stage Home colorway, which is the white and gold colorway. And then the other one is the Parade PE. And how they did it with this shoe, which is pretty dope, is they essentially cut the shoe in half. So one half of the shoe is the home, and then the other half is the parade. And it's just like essentially predominantly white. You got hints of gold and some black in there. And it's dope, man. Like, I'm personally a fan of anything for Kobe 4 and up. Sorry, Kobe 4.
Thank you.
And up.
I was like, what is this? It's not even speaking English. And then once you said it properly, I was like, oh.
And honestly, the fives were, I had so many fives. And they're comfy as F. Like, silhouette's dope. Kobe's dope. Kobe!
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And yeah, so it's set to release February 7th, 2020.
All-star release,
so like
I believe,
in a week.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's,
in a couple weeks.
Yep.
And then $200 USD, so you're looking at maybe 260,
oh dear.
270.
Maybe almost three.
Yeah, CAD.
Oh my goodness.
But I mean, man, these are definitely for sure going to sell out.
It's not even a question anymore. Yeah, it already sold out for sure.
But I'm hoping that, like, you know, the true, not true fans, but like the people who actually want it, actually
yes,
get
it. Especially because we'll get into it later. I'm not gonna say
But yeah, these if I could get my hands on them or if I can afford them, these would be a scoopty whoopty hoopty, and I would hoop in these.
I was about to say, would you wear them?
Fuck yeah,
you would wear them.
That's what they're meant for, man.
That's very
I
true.
Love my Kobe's, bro. Like
the Kobe 5 was my first Kobe ever. I remember. Yeah. I got it on the sale rack when we worked at Foot Locker.
Didn't you get a Kobe 4? Because we both Brampton. Had the Kobe 4 All-Stars.
That's a Kobe 5. The red one, the hardwood, is a Kobe 5.
That is a Kobe 5.
And that was the second one I ever got. The first one was also a Kobe 5. It was the Del Sol. The black and yellow.
With the white.
Black, yellow, white.
Oh, not that's with right. Yeah. The other one is the other one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other one is the other one.
The Laker one.
Yeah, the Laker one. Yeah. And then, yes, that same year, we got the All-Star version, it which was sick. It had the hardwood look on, like, the, I don't even know, it's like the Hyper Punch red upper. Oh, and the beautiful. Hardwood hits were 3M.
Yeah.
So when you took a picture with Flash, it just looked amazing. Yeah, we got those on sale, too. Man. How did you said these are a scoop?
Scoop.
Oh, yeah.
Super swoopty, scoopty.
Absolutely. Such a cool shoe. Yeah, the split down the middle is just, I like that it's, because usually when they do a split down the middle, it'll be like the left and the right shoe on the outside of both shoes is the same. And then the inside of both shoes is the same.
Yeah.
This one, it's like the left side of both shoes is the same and the right side of both shoes is the same. Yeah. So the outsides are different. But you get the outside of both. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot more of a what the effect. Yeah. Definitely. I like, they're beautiful. Really cool. And the insoles with the 2-4, right? Yeah.
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 Joel.
Okay. So my pick is the Adidas ZX 8000, Lethal Knights. It's the ones that are with the snakeskin, on them and stuff like that. So it's like predominantly like black, like a charcoal kind of black color, with the snakeskin. And the hits of the, what color do they call it here? Rustic orange on them.
It's a good color.
Yeah. And, man, these look pretty well done. Snakeskin on them. Like I said, black laces. It's just riding that ZX 8000 wave.
Mm-hmm.
These drop for 139 euros. So I guess.
250 euros?
200 Canadian or something.
At least.
Yeah. February 6th.
We're talking euros now.
Yeah, no, I can't do that, man. Euros. That's a broke month.
So
that's a big currency.
Yeah, no release date yet, as of yet, for the American, North American side. But, yeah, I guess because it's in euros already, most likely Europe is going to get them first.
That's a good guess.
But, yeah, man.
They get all the runners first.
They're super cool.
It seems like always.
They had those, the Aquas, they had them, like before. New Year's.
Yeah.
Before they came here.
Yeah.
That's so, okay. That's fine. Right. They deserve it.
No, they do.
I'm not salty about it.
Because they've showed love for
Eddie.
Like,
yeah, from time.
Forever.
From, yeah.
Time.
How do you rate them, Joe Dooney?
Super, super cute.
Super duper cute. It's hard to go wrong with snake skin and black and gum and all that stuff.
And that orange.
Rustic orange.
Orange.
It's a good color blocking.
Yeah.
It is. Next up, this week in Kicks, now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. Obviously, the current headlines and happenings are pretty obvious and clear right now. So everything is Kobe-centric from this week in Kicks. First up, and this is just incredible, so it's obviously going first. We always say that we want to try and always put the Canadian news first, if there is any. Canadian sneaker store tries to combat Kobe resale. So this is Courtside Sneakers out in the Maritimes of Canada, so the east side of Canada. They're doing what they can to slow down the resale influx on Kobe's sneakers. So you guys have seen what's happening with Kobe's right now. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Crazy.
So they've been inflated like crazy. Obviously, the go-to is StockX.
Yeah.
The last sold, and this was when I wrote it last night, the last sold price for a pair of Grinch Kobe 6s in a size 9 was $3,950 Canadian dollars. If you look 5 days ago, I think you're looking at like 1,200 Canadian-ish, I think was probably average. So Courtside, and it's literally every single Kobe. Like, I checked just to do some, would not ever even think about it, but I had to obviously look. Every single, any random Kobe you can think of that was on a clearance shelf in the back of the Nike store on the bottom shelf, huge. No, nothing is below $400. It's insane and disgusting, frankly, but that's just a side thing. So Courtside, was obviously bought out of all their Kobe stock the day of and the day after, so Sunday and Monday, when the news broke. And on Monday, later in the day, they released the message, we will be adding RIP-824 on the midsole in permanent marker to all Kobe product to combat resale. Anyone who ordered yesterday, which would have been Sunday, will be emailed and have the option of canceling or accepting. In the caption, they noted that it's going to be on all current and upcoming Kobe product.
Dope.
And they have finished it with, if you have a problem with this, we don't want your business anyways.
Nice.
If you know anything about Courtside Sneakers, the owner, Nate, is a huge basketball guy. Huge. So I can imagine how this really cool how this shook him.
Oh, for sure.
I actually met him when he was here for, I don't know why he's here. I met him one time and he's just the nicest guy. This is an amazing initiative to go about. If you bought a pair of Kobe's on Sunday, it was for two reasons, really. It was either because you were trying to capitalize in resale, or you were like, I need to snatch this up because it's going to be really hard to get and I want to have a pair to keep. If you were the latter of the two, then you would not mind having that sort of message written on the midsole.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Whether you planned on wearing it or not, like, you bought that shoe in commemoration of that event or an acknowledgement of that event. Mm-hmm. So that's just an extension of that memory for you and that acknowledgement. So really big ups to Courtside Sneakers. I've seen they've gotten a little bit of hate, but mostly love for it. So, I mean, there's definitely both sides, but I mean, I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
Next, a sneaker resale shop has stopped selling Kobe's indefinitely. So on Monday, Los Angeles-based resale shop Riff LA posted a photo of a half-empty footwear wall with the caption, "We will not be selling any Kobe's. Till further notice, all Kobe's have been pulled off the wall and all online orders have been refunded. Sorry for any inconvenience."
Wow.
So it's one thing when it's like a retail store and they're kind of governed by Nike and there's a little bit, but when it's a resale shop that is the epitome of making money off of spikes in prices and trends and hype, for this kind of initiative to be brought out by that kind of store, that's incredible. Yep. The fact that they're in LA shows that they understand the magnitude of the situation. And the fact that they said, similar to Courtside Sneakers, indefinitely, I mean, good for them.
Yeah.
That's all you can say. Good for them. Yeah. Because, like, what else can you do?
Because
there's going to be people, even if you've never owned a pair of Kobe's, that are going to want to, they're going to want to grab a pair.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, like, I need to get a pair of Kobe's now because of XYZ. But most of it seems to be, okay, let's capitalize on the big market and make a bunch of money. Like, that's not the mindset that you should have, for sure. Next up, StockX, which is, as we mentioned, one of the biggest places right now for reselling this kind of thing, is donating money, all the money, from any Kobe Bryant-related sales to the Athletes Foundation. The Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Foundation. So this was just announced today. This is brand new news. So StockX is not going to stop selling the product, because I guess their thought process is, if someone's willing to sell it and someone's willing to buy it, they're just there to facilitate and make sure it's a safe transaction. So you can't, it's tough to blame them in that kind of situation. But the fact that they are donating their share, so the fees, any transactional or processing fees that they would have made from the sales are going directly to their foundation, which is, once again, a fantastic move from StockX. It's kind of allowing both sides to do their thing. Like, if a buyer wants to purchase it and the seller, as much as we may not agree with it, wants to get rid of it at this time, very conveniently, StockX is allowing them to do it while also paying homage and respect and not profiting themselves off of the situation. Yeah. So, I mean, StockX kind of gets a bad rap in the sneaker community sometimes, but this is a really good movement, and I'm a fan of it. I just hope it extends for a while, because I don't see this really slowing down anytime soon, just because of the magnitude of the situation itself. The last one, so this isn't really news. It's kind of just like a clarification. So it was alleged, like, if you go on Nike.ca, Nike.com right now, and you type in Kobe, nothing comes up. So it was alleged that people thought that Nike had stopped selling Kobe product. They were like, they pulled it all. They just want to give the the situation time to breathe. It's been, once again, I haven't seen an official statement from Nike, but it seems like the sources are being told that they haven't pulled anything. It's literally just every single thing is sold out.
Wow.
Everything. And I checked Nike, I checked Foot Locker, I checked anywhere that I could think of, even some more obscure sites, nothing. Literally zero things are available right now.
Crazy.
So it's going to be interesting, like we said, with the upcoming sneaker that Alvin chose for his pick this week, how that is received and how that goes over. We'll get into it a little bit later, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. I did not pick up any sneakers last week. Joel, you?
No.
Alvin?
Nope.
Nothing. Wow. Boring week for us.
Boring.
Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time, we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM, and we'll let the world know that we goofed. So a couple this week. Not really any mistakes, just some info that was shared with us. The first one from Michael Williams. I think that was who we had the fire out question from last week. So that's nice that he's writing in. Mm-hmm. And I guess he heard it because he's writing in and he says, E-E-E, coming next to Netflix, the spinoff of Don't Fuck with Cats is Don't Fuck with PB&J. Seriously, I've never heard of anyone making their PB&J in such a way. So Kellen wanted people to let him know if there's anyone out there who does it like, and clearly that response from Michael is good evidence that that is very rare and not normal. So thank you, Michael. That was funny. Next up from Evil NYC, also a good friend of the show.
Yes, sir.
This is about the XXX on the Amsterdam Air Max 1 on the toe box.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, not in relation to the red light district in Amsterdam or XXX rated
porno
content.
Porno.
It's the crosses of St. Andrew, which is present on the city flag of Amsterdam and also present on the coat of arms of Amsterdam. Mm. So the three X's show up on the crosses.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. Fact checked it. It is correct. It is there. Because that didn't sound real. I was like, it's definitely XXX rated content and the red light district and Nike's being cheeky, but no, not cheeky. Nope. And the last one, this one comes from JKV047 on YouTube. So the only reason that I'm doing this is because, like, clearly by the reaction, it's a YouTube listener, and I think there's about three of y'all.
Yeah.
So first of all, thank you for listening on YouTube, because that's a massive commitment. I don't know why you don't just listen on a more convenient listening platform. But thank you very much for listening on YouTube. He says, can I get a shout out at JohnVille47 on IG?
Oh, shit.
So there you go, bro. There you go, JohnVille47 on Instagram. Shout out to the YouTube gang. What up?
Gang.
Next up, thumbs up, thumbs down. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. So this week, this is a thing that was really big, got less big, and now it's really big again. Waterproofer / like rappel, just basically the spray, you know, you put on your shoes. Alvin.
Way up.
Joel.
Way up.
I'm down. As in thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Next up, NSR, not sneaker related. We talk about sneakers a lot. So in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. And because Joel supplied some delicious KFC this week for dinner, he is the bringer of the NSR question. Joel, what do you got?
All right. So Mark Cuban did it first for Dallas. He retired 24. What do you guys think of any other teams that should follow suit?
I think it's a league thing.
Should be.
You think it's a league-wide thing? Mm. We talked about it like before the episode started recording, but like it seems like players are already unofficially retiring his numbers by switching them. So if at that point, if the players are kind of making that stand, the league should probably follow suit. And it's not uncommon. Like, I know that the reason that LeBron wore number 6 in Miami is because Miami retired number 23 for Michael Jordan, which is like, there's no relation there. It's just something they did because they thought it made sense.
Yeah.
I definitely think 8 and 23 should not be worn by anybody else in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You guys agree?
Totally agree.
Super. 8 and 24?
Sorry, 8 and 24. 8 and 24, yeah. Ooh, just before the buzzer. Thank you. That was close. next up, promos. So just the one thing that we've been doing all January that we'll do for the last time this week. You guys have been really awesome. But we always try and help promote anybody who needs it, anybody who has an event, anybody who's a new product, whatever. We try to make sure we're giving as much visibility to as many people as we can, because if you guys do well, we do well. But this month we tried to promote ourselves. We had a really good year last year with True to Size and Canada Got Soul. And this year we want to have an even better year.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that anybody who's listening, anybody who knows somebody, just to take the time to give us a review on iTunes, on Spotify, on Podbean, whatever. Give us even just a 5-star review, is really good. 5-star is ideal. I think we're accepting anything above 4.9. So that's whatever works for you easiest. A comment is really good. You guys are always really good with sharing on your stories and on Instagram and everything. So that's amazing. Even just telling your homies about it. Like if you know somebody who's into podcasts, give it, maybe not this episode because it's a little bit somber. But I swear we are a little bit more fun usually. we do have a good time on here. So let your friends know if they're into podcasts that they can, hit us up and rock with us. And that would be amazing. So next up, to close out the episode, and like we said, it is going to be a shorter episode this week just because of the whole situation. We didn't feel right really discussing anything else, aside from this. So we're going to get into just a little bit of, Kobe talk now.
Kobe.
To finish out the episode. We've been doing it the whole episode anyways, but we can do it just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And they're all really hard questions. So I do apologize for that. But I feel like this, I was going to say, I'm going to start soft, but this is like a really big question to start it off.
Okay.
Favorite Kobe model ever? Not specific sneaker, but just overall model. This was the lightest of what I have here. So
model.
Favorite Kobe model. I'll start to give you guys a second to think.
Yeah.
And there was a couple that kind of crossed my mind. Obviously the 5 was the first one that I ever, purchased. The 8 was incredible for basketball.
Yeah.
The 6 had some really amazing, like, designs. It had like the Dark Knight. It had the Chaos, Joker. It had, Grinch, obviously, but it has to be Kobe 9 Elite for me, like the high cut one. I mean, like, it was inspired by the mag. It was his shoe that he came back from injury from, from his Achilles injury. Like, it was just all these things. So for me, it has to be the 9 Elite, like the super high cut. That shoe was just incredible. What about you guys?
Mine's the 8.
It has, yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
I mean, every other silhouette is dope as F. Don't get me wrong, but the 8 is like, if I could make it my ball shoe forever, I would.
It was your ball shoe for what felt like forever.
It's still my ball shoe. It's still in there. I still have 2 pairs.
But you have one point, it felt like a dozen pairs that you were rotating through.
Oh, man. Yeah. I had in every the Kobe color. 8, like, I was at least a dozen. And then I had to, like, smarten up and
downsize
a little bit.
Downsize. Yeah. Joel.
I don't know. I really like the Grinches.
Sixes.
Very, very nice. The only Kobes that I have are the IDs that I did.
The 4s?
The 4s.
Yeah. Oh, the 4s were sick too.
Yeah. Those are like, I can't really compare it to any other ones because those are the only ones I have. But
yeah.
But yeah, man. I really wanted the ones too.
Like
the Zoom ones. Like the, even when they did the Pro Tros in them, I really wanted them.
I still, like, I mean, obviously still, now it's like, it's a pipe dream now, but like, when they did they did the Fade to Black pack and the Prelude pack. So the Prelude pack, the Prelude pack was the lead up to the 9 because he wasn't playing. So I guess they had to do something to fill in the gaps. So they did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, in like colors inspired by events that happened while he was wearing that shoe, mm-hmm. which was just like sick. And I loved the Prelude one, like by far one of my favorite Kobe's. And the Fade to Black was after he was retiring. They did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I want to say, in like progressively darker tones mm-hmm. with the Protro, or sorry, not the Protro, the one being like the white. It's like almost like a sail, I guess. Yeah. It's like an off-white. And I just loved the look. Like, it's such a good shoe. And I always wanted both of them. And now, obviously, I'm kicking myself. Because at one point, they dipped not that low, like 350, 400 of each. But now, it's like, good fucking luck. I'll just print a picture out, because that's about as close as I'm ever going to get to that. Okay, so that was model. That was just a little bit broader. Now, it's the specific one. Favorite Kobe sneaker. Specific colorway in the model. Could be not necessarily from his performance line, if that drops you any hints, maybe like the Huarache or an Air Force One that he's done. The favorite Kobe sneaker. I'll go first, once again, to give you guys some time to think, because there is a lot to sort through. Mine, sticking with the theme, it has to be the Masterpiece Kobe 9 Elite.
Oh, yeah, those are dope.
First shoe that he wore coming back from the injury. Was the introduction of that super high cut. Like, it was the first anyone's ever seen like that. It was like, I think they did a KD 10 or something that had like the really, really high cut, and it was just absolutely brutal. But it was the introduction of flying it on a basketball shoe. It was the mm-hmm. first time it was ever done. It has like the stripes. I think it was 4 stripes on the heel to represent the scars from his Achilles injury.
Yeah.
I know he had a lot of, input on it with him, and I think his name is Eric Avar, the designer.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to go back to the high cut, obviously, for the stability, because he just had torn his Achilles tendon. But he hadn't done high cut in so long, and since like, I think the 3. So it was, he wanted it to feel like a low cut. So the whole thing about the Kobe 9 Elite was that it's not actually giving you any extra support, that extra boot structure. It's giving your mind and your legs and your ankle the illusion of support to make you feel more confident. So that's why you get the feel of a low cut, but it's actually really, really high cut. It's just giving your brain the illusion of the support, which is just so, so cool to me. And then they did the same thing on the 10. Like, they repeated the same structure and design. So the Kobe 9 Elite Masterpiece, like, come on, multicolor flying it on a high-cut Kobe that was inspired by the Nike Mag. Like, come on. Give me a break, buddy. Come on. Joel, what's yours?
I don't know. I think it's, for me, I don't know if you would consider it, but it would be like the, you know, when the Jordan 3s did the Lakers.
That's a good one.
The pack or just the 3s?
Just the 3s.
The 3s
just
are...
Just the 3s for me.
Don't even get me started.
But yeah, those ones... are just,
yeah, those are sick,
crazy, bonkers.
Like, whenever insane. And he did wear them, right? Like a variation of them. Yeah, he has like a PE version, and then they released them
in game.
Yeah, like he did wear them early in his career, and then they did the retro. I think it was when he was retiring. They did the black, like a black pack with the 3 and the 8, and a white pack with the 3 and the 8. Yeah. And the white pack is just like, holy shit, bananas, crazy, stupid, dumb.
That's a good one.
That shoe needs to come out. But anyways, Alvin.
I'm going to give an honorable mention to the Adidas Crazy 8.
Yes. Shout out Adidas real quick. Throw it in there.
Yeah, man.
Yo, that... Damn. The first... Like, what?
Yeah.
The first time I saw him like play in that shoe, it was like... First of all, the shoe's just dope. Second of all, you got Kobe playing in them. And
yeah.
The colorways that they had in them, just the color blocking, the stuff you could do with the color blocking on that shoe is ridiculous.
You could even say it's crazy. Yeah.
I played in them. They were pretty comfy too, like to play in. Mm-hmm. But my favorite is still the Grinch.
It's I think that's got to be second for me.
I mean,
close to it. Yeah.
Every like in that whole silhouette too, like the 6.
Yes.
I like how they had like the snake
skin. It looks, if you look at the silhouette, it looks like a snake head almost.
Yeah. And it's just, man. And then the colorway of the Grinch and just how, like, the Christmas and, like.
Yeah. First time they'd ever done something like that, where they made Christmas not typical, like.
Not typical Christmas.
Holly jolly Christmas.
The red and white.
Exactly. Yeah, red and white. Crazy. Or even the regular green and red.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they had a theme, a Christmas theme for the Christmas theme.
Yeah.
Man, I'm forever I will kick myself because I got the LeBrons from that pack, which is a great shoe. They were LeBron 8.
LeBrons were
great shoe.
Bonkers. Great shoe. I have those too, but like I should have bought both. But again, it was Christmas and we had to think about gifts.
But that's back when, it's crazy because that's back when that stuff wasn't even selling out. Like Grinch's
sat
forever.
Yeah.
That shoe you could have bought in April.
Yeah.
The LeBron 8.
Yeah, they went on clearance.
The LeBron 8, I think I bought in like March on sale with my discount.
Yeah.
Like something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will forever, once again, kick myself for not getting that shoe. So Joel asked this, but I'm going to ask a variation of it. He asked, how should the NBA honor Kobe? I think we all agree that his jersey should be retired league-wide.
Mm.
It's already retired by the Lakers, so I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
But it should definitely be retired by everybody. I mean, I was going to say, if not one of the numbers, just 24, but just probably got to be both numbers, like, let's be real.
Yeah.
Should he become the logo? Because there's been talk of him replacing Jerry West as the logo, whether it be his fadeaway or whether it just be a similar silhouette to the Jerry West, like, dribble logo.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think?
I mean, I don't see why not. He's brought so much to the game. He's influenced so many of the players. He's been part of, like, just everything, man. And, like, the impact he's had with not just the NBA, but everything else is just, I don't see why you wouldn't, like, I don't see how you could not see that just fit.
Yeah.
You think same, or?
I think the same, too. Like you said, he's influenced so many people, young and old.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure Jerry West wouldn't mind.
No, I think, I read this, that Jerry West actually drafted Kobe's. So, I mean, that's kind of, yeah.
There you go.
Full circle type thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the thing is, just the way that everything went down, you need a little bit something extra than just the jersey retirement because, come on. So, we talked about this. Obviously, Alvin's pair. That he picked this week, the Kobe 5. What was it called? Big Stay? I don't remember. The
championship?
Yeah.
Championship.
I don't remember the exact name, but yeah.
Final championship.
Final championship, something like that. February release for All-Star. It's been planned probably by Nike for 6-7 months already. Mm-hmm. It's not a new thing. So that they're not going to cancel that. They're not going to pull that. Going forward, is that the last pair of Kobe's that should come out? Should they continue the line? They should continue. Should they start retroing it? Is there an end to the line, do you think? What do you guys think?
I think because of the events, you shouldn't create new silhouettes. But you should definitely retro the old stuff. And if not, like, you should definitely be doing it more now.
Yeah, because they weren't really, they were here and there sprinkling in some retros.
Yeah. But I mean, with Kobe and how he played, if not at the same caliber as MJ, like, I feel like they're right there together, right?
Absolutely.
And with the impact that he's had, it's just like, I don't know. I honestly felt that even before this event, that they should have been retroing his stuff more.
Yeah.
And then now, like, I mean, I feel like you can't really honor him by stopping. I don't see why you would stop it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? With the amount of fans that he's had, with the amount of people that have love and respect for the guy, it's just like, you know, bring more of his product out. And then, I mean, if anything, like, bring out a colorway that do the same thing that, like, other people are doing, and just whatever proceeds you get from it, just donate it to his, like, foundation or whatever, right? So, I don't know. I say keep going. Like, don't make anything new, though. Just because I think that would be wrong. Because then you're essentially using his name.
With him not even.
With him not being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nothing new. But I mean, if you want to do the retros, I mean, keep it alive. Like, obviously people love him for him, but people also love him for his sneakers and stuff too. So,
Joel, what do you think?
How should Nike continue? I'm pretty sure that he wouldn't want he wouldn't want it to stop. Like, if he was still around, I think he would probably be like, yo, like, fuck that shit. Like, you know, it's balls to the wall kind of thing. You can't do it halfway. You know, you got to go all out. So I'm pretty sure that he wouldn't want it to stop. I say continue doing the protros. Keep pushing the protros, like, either, you know, I mean, like, fours, fives, whatever. Just keep pushing that out and guaranteed from, like, you know, the circumstance, that shit's going to sell out.
Oh, 100%.
Like, no matter what. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, you got, like, the younger cats, like, in the NBA pushing all this stuff, like, still rocking shit. So it's like, you know what I mean? Why would you stop now? You know, just keep going. Just keep riding that wave.
I definitely, like, I keep going back and forth about how I think they should, like, do it. I definitely think there will be a buffer period where you're not going to see anything at all.
Yeah.
I think after this one, because it was already announced, you're probably not going to see it for 4 or 5 months at least.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're coming up on Mamba Day 824, so I likely, maybe you won't see anything till August. Mm. Like, I'm really back and forth with whether I think, because like you guys said, like, I bet you if he had a say in it, he would say, why are you stopping? What are you talking about? Like, that's how I'm going to live forever. Like, with this line and with my words and with my impact, like, this is the literal personification of it. But at the same time, like Alvin said, I don't think I want to see anything new. I mean, improving on old silhouettes by doing the protro would be really cool to see. Like, just acknowledging it and keeping it going in that way rather than just pushing forward and us ending up at the Kobe 45, like, just doesn't seem right.
No.
But I definitely would like to see it slow down. Not that we've been seeing a lot of Kobe's in general, because the line itself really slowed down once he retired, which makes sense. But we've also never really seen this situation where somebody who has their own line or performance shoe or anything that was still thriving, and then all of a sudden they've passed away. So I don't necessarily think that there's a wrong way to do it, because I would assume that Nike would consult with the family and see what they want and see what Vanessa wants and see how they would like to proceed. But definitely, I think you're right. Like, just re-releasing, or even, like, I wouldn't be mad if just this whole year they just pumped out a dozen really good, best of all time, 12 retros, like,
in six colorways where he's done
things, or just iconic sneakers. Like, you do the 81 points again, you do the Grinch again, you do the masterpiece again, you do whatever. And then on the year anniversary or whatever, the day before the year anniversary, you release the last one, and maybe it's a new colorway, and then you're done forever. And maybe then once a year you do a Mamba Day release or something where it turns into like an Air Max Day thing. But yeah, I'm still not 100% sure how I think it should go, to be frankly honest, because I don't know if there's a right answer, because we've never seen it before. But yeah, I don't know. It's really tough, because as much as the fan in you wants to see it continue, you also want to see it go away gracefully, if that makes sense. Especially considering the fact that he didn't have the opportunity to go gracefully, that it was so sudden and there was no goodbyes, there was nothing, like, which obviously is, like, tough, because there's a lot of open-ended things. Like, if you're Nike, you have a way to close it the way you want it, the way Vanessa wants it. If this is what the route they choose to go, you have a way to close it. So there's a proper ending. There's a proper goodbye. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But I don't think we'll see much after the fives next month. So I just want to finish with just a quote that I saw from Kobe yesterday. And then I think we're going to do a 24-second moment of silence after the quote. And we won't do our wrap-up. We're just going to go straight into the music. And that'll be it. So the quote reads, have a good time. Enjoy life. Life is too short to get bogged down and be discouraged. You have to keep moving. You have to keep going. Put one foot in front of the other. Smile. and just keep on rolling. Rest in peace, Cole.